All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning. And we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We just pray that you'd help us, Father, to be faithful to you. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding as we open your word. Help us, Father, to see your kingdom, Lord, and press into it, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to extend a greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thankful for his watch and care over us. This morning, I want to comment a little about the, we had the boys talk about thankfulness. And, you know, it's, we thank him for all the good things he's done. Almost everyone thanked him for all of the good things. But like the lesson brought out that they had, God's mercy endures forever, and his mercy is not just showering good things upon us. The problem is whenever only good things happen to us, what happens to us? We become discontent. We become ungrateful and unthankful. We become slack. You know, throughout history, we can see that whenever God's people talks about they rest upon their lees, they just kind of take it easy. We see the one place where it says that let's eat, drink, and be merry. And that's what our flesh or our hearts, sometimes we just want to make everything comfortable so we can just sit back and take it easy. And so we really, really like just the good times. And we don't like bad times. But God's mercy shows us times that this isn't where he wants us to live. This isn't where he wants us to be. And he tries to keep us, or tries to bring us to a place, and he kicks our feet out from under us sometimes. And he sends hard things to us so that we can really take stock in our life and see and do that which is important. Not just what's fun. Not that which is just a nice and good. But things that are real. Things that really make us what we need to be. The Bible talks about iron sharpeneth iron. You know, if we have nothing rub against us but nice soft things, you know what happens? We become soft. And everything just gets really, really soft, and we get lazy. But you know, whenever we have hard times, you know what happens? Like when your hands, whenever you're working, and you work and you get calluses, and you get a hold of rough things, and it just roughs them up and it toughens your hands up so that you can actually do something. But so often we just would rather just have the soft way. But that's not good for us. And that's what God is trying to. That's God's mercy, sending bad things to us. And so often we are thankful for all the nice things. But when we really should be thankful is whenever the bad things come. That is what will carry us through. Whenever we can be thankful for the hard times, and we can be thankful for the troubles, and we can be thankful for the trials, and we can be thankful for those things, then we're truly thankful. You know, anybody can be thankful. Boy, I had a good breakfast this morning. I'm sure thankful for that. You know, boy, it's a weather. It's just beautiful out there. I can really be thankful for that. But can we really be thankful when there's nothing to eat? We don't hardly know that. That's just something we don't even know here. Just when there's nothing to eat. And we can still say, thank the Lord. And that's what I want to really just think about this morning. Are we willing to let God be God? Are we willing to let God be the one whose mercy endureth forever? Or do we just want a powder puff life and think that that's going to really accomplish anything in us? I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. I want to read a couple of verses. Says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. If I put a title on this, I've talked about this quite often before, I think, or I've mentioned it, but the title would be, You Chose This Path. You Chose This Path. Whenever we read these verses here, it says, enter through the gate. It tells about two ways. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. And there's a narrow way that leads to life. When we think about a broad way, we could put that word, we could make it a little different. We could say there's an easy way. There's an easy way. There is a fun way. There is a way that is pleasant and enjoyable. Whenever, instead of just saying a broad way, we could put all kinds of things to describe that in there. But that way leads to destruction. One of my favorite quotes, one of my favorite thoughts or quotes, and I didn't look up who quoted it, but it says that you can choose your path, but you must accept its destination. Or you can choose your destination, and you must accept the path that's given to you that leads to that destination. Whenever we're looking at it, this first example is a way. It says, a broad way. It's a way that I choose. It's a way that I choose. Because I like it. Or because I think it's the best for me. And that can even include really strict religion. Because I think that the best is going to be, this is the safe way. This is the safe way. And so I'm looking for the way. But when we choose the way that we want, or the way that we like, guess what? We have no choice in the final end. We have no choice but to walk that path. And that path, every single time, leads to destruction. No matter how nice the way may look along the way. The sun may be shining, just get enough rain to keep everything green, but the sun shines all the time, so to speak. Everything just goes our way. And that's the path we want. But it'll lead us to a destination that we don't want. That we don't want. The other part of that is we can choose a destination. We can choose the destination we want to go. And that destination that we're talking about today is being like God, being with God, being with Christ, going to be with Him. We can choose that path if we want it. Choose that destination. You know, nobody's going to choose, I want to go to hell. I want to go be with the devil. Nobody's going to choose that path. Some people say it just out of rebellion and just being smart alecks, but nobody wants to choose that path. But they choose the lifestyle, they choose the way to live that will take them there. If you want to go to be with God, if you want to be like Christ, you have to choose that destination and let Him give you the path, or let Him show you the path that will lead you there. It's just that simple. You know, people talk about being saved because they want to go to heaven and they accept Jesus, and so because they want to go to heaven. That's not choosing your destination. That's just wanting the best. That's just choosing what you want. But that's not choosing a destination, because the destination that Christ is offering is for you to come and be like Him. That's the only people that are going to be with Him. The people who have His nature, who are trying to follow Him and to be like Him. Because the other stuff just won't fit there. Hell is the world's trash can. And everything that doesn't belong in heaven is just going to be thrown into hell. Every path that's choosing our own way is going to wind up there. But when we choose, I want to be like Christ, we're choosing to forsake our way, to forsake our life, and to become like Him, so that we will belong there. That's what makes this hard. That's what makes it a narrow path. It's because it's one we've chosen our destination, and now God is going to put us on a path, not that's just a rose garden. A path that's not just everything we want in life, but a path where He's going to say, that needs to go. And He'll trim that off. I'm going to take this from you because it don't belong there. I'm going to remove this out of your life. I'm going to put this burden on your life because you need strength here. Because He loves us and He wants us to be like Him. And so He starts working on us and taking away all those things. You know, why do you have unhandy people in your life? Why do you have people that just always under your skin? Why do you have people that, boy, if they would just do this, everything would be wonderful? Well, God lets those people in there to see how you're going to respond to them. Not just so your life can be wonderful, because that's not the path God wants for you. True selfishness is just trying to get through this life without nobody bothering me, doing my own thing. I might even want to help somebody once in a while, just so they're thankful. Just so they're nice. I'll help people. I'll be friends with people just so they're friendly with me. That's what we want. We want to choose our own nice little path. Make sure everything's going great. But God allows some knuckleheads to be put in our life once in a while, just to see what we're going to do with them. You know, we look at how bad they are, but that's not what God's looking at. God's looking at, how do you respond to people treating you that way? That's what He sees. He could care less about them concerning you. He'll take care of them in His own right. But we want to try to fix them. We want to try to fix all those problems so it'll make our life easier. That's why. That's selfish. That's that path. That's that broad path that everybody wants to be on. That's why Jesus talked about that, turn the other cheek. He said, why are you friends with all your friends, even the worst sinners? You know, you get out on the street, and for the most part, the drug addicts are pretty nice to each other. They hang around each other. They're friends with each other, as long as everybody's friendly. But you start getting things crossways with them, they don't get along just like everybody else. That's why He said, anybody can get along when everything's going your way. When it's a bed of roses, everything's right. The sun's shining, everything's wonderful. What a happy day. Anybody can be happy like that. Oh, there's some that aren't happy with anything, but for the most part, most people are happy when everything's going their way. But that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you. That's just going to let you coast. That's just going to let you get soft. And that's just going to let you get weaker and weaker. And let you carry all the baggage. All the stuff that's no good. That don't belong. Just carry it along your way. Jesus said, whenever He talked about, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know, there's one explanation of that that says there's a little hole that after they shut the gates, there's one little place that they can get a camel back into the city. And the only way they can do it is when the camel has everything taken off of it. And it just has to wiggle and squirm to be able to get this camel through this eye of the needle. There's nothing else going to be with you. Nothing. You can't take anything with you of you into heaven. You can't take it. You've got to get through with nothing. And God is trying to make sure we don't have too great a hold on things in our life. Because that's just baggage that won't fit through that needle. And so He's got to be able to take it away from us if He wants to. You know, there's men in the Bible. Job had a lot. And God came and swept it all away. What did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he wasn't carrying his baggage. He was just handling what God had given him to go through it. Too often, we get comfortable. And we get a grip on things. And we won't let them go. That won't fit through that hole. It won't go through. You know, they've got a trap for a raccoon or a monkey. Even they'll drill a little hole in a tree. And they'll put something shiny in there. And that hole is just big enough where that monkey can get his hand on that little treasure in there. And then when he grabs his hand around it, his fist, he makes a fist and he can't get his hand out of it anymore. And that monkey will allow himself to be captured before he lets go of that treasure. You can't have that good a hold on the things in this life. You can't hold on something that tightly in this life. You know, I had a thought a couple weeks ago on the judgment day. I was talking with a wealthy man. On the judgment day, that man is not going to have one penny more than the poorest person in this earth when he stands before the Lord. He's not going to own one speck of dirt more than the most poorest person on this earth. That's something to think about whenever we won't let go of what we've got our sweaty little palms wrapped around. We try to make it where God can't touch us. We try to make it where we're protected, we're safe. Everything's great. But all we're doing is standing there clasping that little bit of glass or that little piece of metal or that little piece of tin foil or some other thing that's just going to be destroyed when we stand before the Lord. Some other thing that when we stand before God, our hands will be empty because it won't be there. In choosing this path, is saying, here I am, God. Here I am. Here's everything. Here's everyone I love. Here's everything I possess. Here it is, Lord. I'm choosing a destination. I'm choosing a goal to be like you. You can direct my path. You can fill in the blanks. You know, we used to use an example of a contract. Most people, they negotiate a contract and I want this pay and I'll put in this many hours and we have this contract, or I'll do this and I'll do that, and we all agree together. And so then you sign your name at the bottom of the contract and say, all right, now we're going to keep this contract. But you know, the only contract that the Lord will accept from you is when you take a blank piece of paper and sign the bottom and say, Lord, you fill in the contract. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to. I'll go through whatever you want me to go through. I'm choosing your path. I'm choosing your way. I want to be like you. Lord, take me. Break me. Make me into what you want me to be. That should be the cry of our heart, not how good we have it. That good is dangerous. You know, it looks so nice and safe and secure, but it's the most deadly thing in the world to a Christian today. You know, we look back in time and the history of the martyrs, and those people had nothing. They lost everything, sitting in a dungeon somewhere, and was able to sing and thank God. You know, they got strong. They got better. They got more like Jesus. And we're fat and sassy. No persecution, no troubles, no hunger, no nothing. All is well. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. We can't hold on to nothing. What is so valuable for your soul? The Bible says, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about what you're trying to hold on to. What's it worth? What's it worth when God calls and you leave it all behind? It's absolutely worth nothing. It's worse than worth nothing, because it's what you chose ahead of God. It's not just worth nothing. If it was worth nothing, it wouldn't harm you. But because it had a value, all eternity is. You mean I chose that little piece of tin foil? I chose that little trinket over eternity? Sometimes, there's been times in my life when things got hard, and I just thought, wow, this road is too hard. It's costing too much to follow the Lord. Why am I doing this? And I just get discouraged sometimes, and I get depressed sometimes. It gets tough. And I just think, why? And what am I doing? I don't have to do this. And that's right. That's when I remember, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this. I chose this path. I chose this path. And I forget that sometimes. Whenever everything you've built falls to nothing. Looks like whenever you just work and work and work and something comes along and it just all falls to pieces. We go start little churches somewhere and work with them for years and years and years. I mean, I've been to China almost 50 times in the Philippines, and there's nothing there. Nobody wants us there anymore. And it's just, why are we doing this? Why? It's because we chose this path. We chose this path. And the Lord has directed that path. The Lord is in charge of that path. The Lord has sent the obstacles that are in that path. The Lord has sent the trials and the temptations and the things that are in that path. Not because He's trying to lure us away. Not because He's trying to make us fall. He sends those things so that we can get stronger. That we can get better. And that we can climb harder. And that our strength and our grip gets better as we climb. Not so we can take it easy. We've chosen this path. And that's what I've stressed before. And people do not understand it sometimes. Jesus simply walked by men and He said, follow me. Follow me. And the people who had been watching and listened to Him just said, wow, I'm going to follow Him. The one was sitting at the receipt of customs. He was a tax collector. And Jesus walked by. And He said, follow me. The Bible says that He rose up. He left all. And He followed. He chose. Jesus didn't go by, you're drafted. There's no way out of it. He didn't do that. He just said, follow me. And this man heard that call amongst all of the other people around, and he got up, he left it all, and started following Him. He had a choice. He made a choice. And that's what we have. We have that choice. Choose easy if you want. Choose prosperous if you want. Choose the world if you want. It's right here. We've got it at our fingertips. We've got a work ethic that we could do anything we wanted to set our minds to. We could build a big business. We could do whatever we wanted to. Or we can just choose to take a straight and narrow path that might lead to nothing, that might lead to hardship, that might lead to nothing but toil and loss, shame, reproach, struggles. And then we can say, I chose this path. The world thinks, what in the world would you choose a path like that? Look what you could have had. The devil's right there all the time. He's just right there shoving it at you, showing you what you could have. Showing you what you could be. But the Lord's saying, I've got a different path for you if you'll follow it, if you'll take it. Follow me. We've got to remind ourselves, that's not the path I want. That's not the destination I want. I want to follow Jesus. And I want to be on the path that He wants me on. Not one that I can create that makes everything go my way. It's there. It's right there. And so easy just to let go and fall into it. You know, so many people, well, they see things like that happening, so they just start getting really concerned and making rules and all. That's not the way you do this. Talked to a man this week, and he just can't understand. Why can't you just have rules and structure and show me how to live? Well, Jesus talked about people. He said, on the outside, you're like a beautiful grave. I mean, we see these marble graves. I mean, they're just beautiful. They've got inscriptions on them and beautiful rocks, and they're just polished. And they've got nice flowers all around them. He said, you people are just like those graves. On the outside, you're beautiful. But 6 feet under there, there's nothing but a bunch of dead men's bones. He said, you look like a bunch of cups that are just polished on the outside. But inside, there's old nasty, filthy, rotting food in there. He said, wash the inside. And the outside will be clean too. So many times, we try to get religious and we wash the outside, but we still have the heart going after the easy path, going after the broad way. Beautiful on the outside, but inside, that come on Broadway. Inside, let me have my way. Oh, I love it when the sun's shining. Everything's rolling my way. You can modify your behavior and not change your heart. And there's a lot of people wanting their behavior modified, but they don't want to give their heart to the Lord. They don't want to surrender their will to the Lord. They love the results of a beautiful life. They love the results of children that are obedient and hardworking and just a nice things. They love the results of that. I don't know how many people that we've talked to that they love the results of a body of people that can love each other. And then come in here and just try to change it and do it some other way instead of getting the heart changed. You don't change your heart just by adapting a new set of rules. You don't change the heart by adapting a new religion. You change the heart by yielding it to the Lord. Letting Him have everything. Letting Him have control. And then just following the path that He leads you. Yielding when He wants something instead of trying to hold on to it. We speak against rules quite a bit. And it's not because the rules are bad. The reason we speak against rules is because it doesn't touch the heart. It doesn't get to the heart. You can conform to rules. You know, God established government. Government to govern something, to watch over something, to keep something in control. That's what a governor does. But the Bible says that government is for those who are unruly. Government is for those who aren't doing what's right. You know, there doesn't have to be a law against murdering people if people love each other. But it's the people that are outside of that that have to be governed. Government is made for those who will not govern themselves. Government, people who need to be governed are people who won't govern themselves. They won't yield themselves to follow the Lord. That's why you have to have rules and strict things going on in churches, is because people's hearts are not after the Lord. You get somebody whose heart is after the Lord, and you don't have to tell them every move to make. You don't have to corral them all the time. You don't have to make sure you watch over them every time. You don't have to keep them chained up. You set them free so that they can pursue the Lord with all their heart. And they won't hurt you. They won't hurt you. Choose that path. Set yourself free from the trinkets. Set yourself free from the things that will bring chains upon you. The most blessed thing about all of this is we have a choice. We can choose. We can choose which path we want to take. We can choose which destination we want. And we can be thankful whenever there's nothing. You know, my grandma, one time, she had a son that was killed in a car wreck. She told me several years later, she said, it was years later, but she said, I can finally thank God for letting God take my son from me. I can finally thank God for letting that happen. You know, that's a tragic thing. Most people blame God. They go to their graves blaming God for some tragedy. That's the broad way. That narrow way is whenever God can take it from you and you can say, thank you, Lord. And mean it. Say, thank you, Lord. You know that there's a song that says, thank you for the valleys that I go through today. Thank you for the hard times. I don't remember it, but all the words to it, but it's thank you. Thank you for the bad things you've put in my way. That's a different path. That's a different path. That's a higher path. May the Lord help us as we strive to be upon it. Lord, thank you again for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for what you've allowed to come our way, Father. Help us be faithful. Help us not get caught up in things of this world. Lord, help us again to do your will. Ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
My will be nice with rapture sing. We